The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 548. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Carlos Romero.
Yo, 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 what's going on?
Brett Murdoch.
What up, party people?
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Manjoma.
What up, what up?
All right, guys, you already know, back with another one. Got a couple people missing here. And I just remembered as I was doing the intro why Manny isn't here. Because he's at Metal Gear Con. So that's why, you know. I know he said he was going to try to join us, but, you know, maybe he went to go party. And I hope he did. You know, he needs to mingle with people. Maybe he's hanging out with David Hayter right now. You never know, right?
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, Manny's at Metal Gear Con in, like, Ontario, California or some shit? Quebec, California. So basically a Canada city in California, you know?
I wonder which one was first. I'm pretty sure it was a Canada one, but you never know. Never know.
So Chris is not on tonight because he is out celebrating his daughter's fifth birthday, man. Crazy. So shout out to Olivia turning five, you know? He showed me some videos of her driving the arcade. She's playing games and shit. You know, he raised a gamer, you know? And Adam's probably doing another TV terminal because that's all he does now. I says, I don't have time for podcasts. I still remember that shit. I had to do all these episodes. The Walking Dead. Oh, man. All right. So we didn't get too many questions tonight, so this might be a short show. So, you know. Don't blame us. Blame yourselves. It's crazy. I'm like, I thought we would have had more questions, especially after Gamescom, but I guess nobody cared, you know, about Gamescom. It is what it is, bruh. All right, let's get into it. Jolly Yellow Nerd. He goes, I know you guys have little faith in Marathon at this point. At any point, we didn't have any faith in it, to be honest. But were any of you expecting any news about it at Gamescom? I didn't even think about the game, bro. I really didn't. But I'm also not surprised that we didn't get news just because of the fact that they're basically just restarting the whole fucking game. You know, they're pretty much having at least artistically restart from scratch after the whole, you know, debacle of them stealing another artist's style and shit. So I'm not surprised. But I if you didn't ask this question, dude, it wouldn't have even occurred to me. Like, that's how little brain power I'm giving to Marathon. Legit do not give a fuck about this game, you know? I mean, maybe somebody else on the panel here will feel different, but I just don't give a fuck. I really don't. But yeah, were any of you guys surprised it wasn't at Gamescom?
Go ahead. I think that shit's buried deep down.
Yeah.
What, deep down?
I got the joke. Yeah, again, I still maintain that the game's going to get canceled outright. That's my Tony conspiracy theory, you know.
Thing with Gamescom and Sony, it's like, did anyone even expect Sony to say anything at Gamescom? I mean, we did get something. It wasn't at Gamescom, but we did get an announcement. You know, those price hikes.
The price hikes, yeah.
We got more price hikes than games now. I didn't expect Sony to announce anything. So obviously, Marathon was at the bottom of that list. Yeah, I don't know why they would, because do they even have a track record of announcing things at Gamescom? I don't remember.
Who, Bungie?
Usually, you know, Sony.
I think for a lot of years they've been skipping Gamescom, but yeah like Xbox is usually the one that makes big showings at that show.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the same fucking, like, sorry.
Wait, go ahead, Brett. Who Xbox is doing the same what now?
They keep showing up and showing the same goddamn games.
Uh-oh. Someone sounded like a disgruntled Xbox fan.
No, I mean, I'm still enjoying it. It's just like, it's tough to pick out from the noise. Like, they their marketing team needs to learn like when to reveal something and stop revealing shit like four times, right? Like, quit drip feeding the information. Just sit on it. Make a big deal. Like, you can't generate a hype train, right? You can't do it. And the best thing that you can do is just shut your goddamn mouth and then, you know, let us know beforehand. Hope a hype train builds out and then actually fucking deliver. Because I think everybody is just kind of at the point of like, yeah, okay, I'll believe it when I see it. And like, some good games have come out, but not enough to like really counteract the whole reputation that they've built for themselves. So like, they're still in the doghouse. So they can announce and try and make all these games look super great, but like half of them fucking suck. So the other half sometimes are, you know, not bad, pretty good. But like, you know, they you know, I'm so disappointed by Avowed, and I'm not looking out forward to the Outer Worlds. Who knows? But I think we're at this weird place where like Sony's just not putting out anything, and anything you Microsoft puts out, like, do you trust it? Do you care?
Xbox tax, you know. Yep. I mean, you're right, because the biggest Xbox thing we got from the show was the hardware, the ROG Xbox Ally, and obviously, you know, we don't know the official price, but if you know the price that we're hearing is true, it's going to cost you a pretty penny. So yeah, I don't know. Xbox is in a weird spot. We also have a related question about that later on, but we'll get to that when we get to that. You know, but yeah, Marathon. Again, I think I can speak for everybody on this panel. We don't care.
Yeah, it's
I go further. I anti-care.
Damn. Wait, is it beyond apathy?
Do you care?
No, it is complete and utter. Yeah, no, it's beyond apathy, actually. It is beyond apathy. I think I actively hate Marathon.
Damn. Okay. We need to hear this one.
I mean, it's just, look, you're trying to, it is everything that is wrong with gaming. It is revitalizing a long dead franchise in a way that is familiar to none of the 9 fans that are left, right? It is a microtransaction riddled bullshit nostalgia grab that was made with stolen assets in a rushed in a shady company by rush developers. Like, if I could put all the pieces of wrong together, you'd get fucking Marathon.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's right. And again, you said nostalgia for 9 dudes. Like, no one gives a fuck about it. Manny's the only person if it wasn't for Manny, I wouldn't have known this was an old franchise. You know, because he's always like, what about the fans? Man, he's just flexing because he's just like, I know Marathon. He never played that shit either, you know? Anyway, go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah. Yeah, and the whole thing with the nostalgia thing, that was my biggest issue with Perfect Dark and Fable. It's like, you literally got like 10 fans left that really, really, really have these franchises at their forefronts. And the same thing with Marathon. People moved on from that. You're gonna get the older crowd that's like, oh, I remember that game. You know, shout out to Chris with the member berries.
You know,
and these companies aren't really made to deliver like that. And especially when it seems like the motivation of getting these games up is, you know, just getting an established franchise, or not even a franchise, because I think Marathon was just one game, but an established IP, and hoping that.
This shows how much we know about this fucking game, by the way, people. Anyway, good, continue, Carlos.
Yeah, they're getting a pre-built IP and hoping they get built-in sales from that, from a, you know, a dearth of fan base where they're expecting to, you know, strike gold. That's just not going to happen.
And, look at this, Carlos. It was actually a trilogy.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. But again, it goes to show how much we know about this. We are gaming nerds. We don't know anything about this fucking franchise.
Yeah. And I'm a Halo fan, so that was before even my time. The whole thing with these games like Marathon, most of the people that are working on this probably never even worked on the original one.
Oh yeah, absolutely so not.
There usually should be a motivation to get these games made. And the ones that are made for Perfect Dark, for Marathon, for Fable, and all these games, pretty much is non-existent, other than the money factor.
Yeah. Now, this is interesting. The three games, there were PC ports eventually, but they were all released on classic Mac OS. That was their premier platform. Wow. I never heard of that shit. Yeah. The latest release, Marathon Infinity. Yeah, that's the third one. So it's Marathon, released in 94. Marathon 2, released in 95. And Marathon Infinity, 96. But again, unless you had a fucking Mac back then, you know, and I'm assuming a reasonably powerful one, you didn't play this shit. You didn't play this shit. Anyway, whatever. Anybody else have any thoughts on Marathon? I'm going to take that as a no. So we'll move on here. Barry Burton says, Bubsy 4D will deliver. Damn right. Even that has more like nostalgia appeal than fucking Marathon, you know? All right, let's move on here. Alpha Chuck, does the current market and prohibitive cost of development mean we are past the days of another console maker coming into the market? It's been like that for like 25 years now, 30 years probably. Like the heyday of like multiple companies trying their hand at consoles was in the 90s. But after the dust settled, you know, we mainly just had two main consoles be dominant. Then we had that, you know, one weird era, which was last gen, where we had three viable ones. But now we're kind of settling back to two because historically, you know, once, you know, we had the Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. Then after that, we had the PlayStation 1 and the N64. You know, I'm talking about as the dominant ones of their respective generations. Then after that, we had the PS2. And I guess the GameCube, you know, because Xbox wasn't really doing that well. Then after that, we had three. Yeah. That's when we started the three generation. We had the Xbox 360, the Wii, actually should be the Wii, the Xbox 360, and PS3 in order of like which one was the dominant one. So yeah, for the past three generations, we had three viable ones. But now this generation, let's just be honest, we really have two. You know, PlayStation and Nintendo, especially fucking Nintendo. That's just a long way to say, no, it's not going to happen. Things are just too entrenched. And my question would be, what can this system do? Okay, I just realized the question I was going to ask is outdated. It's outdated already. I was going to say, what can the system do to differentiate itself in terms of exclusives? Exclusives are fucking done, right? Yeah, so like, except for Nintendo, obviously, but it's like, so what can this, you know, a hypothetical fourth console bring to the market that could actually make it successful, like really successful, not just for a niche audience, you know, not just, hey, let's make it more like a PC. Xbox is about to do that shit next gen, you know? Anyway, what do you guys think?
There's two ways that I can see this ever coming to fruition. Because, well, for the most part, I do agree with you, Tony. It's been tried and tested.
Yeah.
It looks like Microsoft's going to bow from the console wars, and they're going to do their own thing with streaming, and everything is an Xbox, all that stuff. And it's going to be just the rule of two. But there's two scenarios where I see this kind of changing. Number one is the power of money, whether it's an Amazon.
Apple.
Or Apple. Or, I don't know, NVIDIA these days. You know, one of them might just buy up a whole bunch of other things and then, you know, create their own console, create their own exclusives. Most of it is via money. They're buying up all these studios. That type of scenario I could see.
Do you think Tencent could pull it off?
Oh, God.
Well, that was, oh, God damn it, Brett. First of all, shout out to you, Brett, for thinking like I think. But yeah, but screw you, Brett, for taking my point. But that, yes, that was going to be number two.
I'm so sorry.
No, go ahead. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, go ahead, Bray. You could run with a Tencent mangle.
I was just thinking like the only company that I can think of would be Tencent because they're well poised. They have their hands in enough properties. They're fairly self sufficient. They would do really well in China, and China is a huge market all by itself. Like it wouldn't even need to have to be technically an international machine, but just another player on the playing field would make it an international machine. So I other than Tencent, I don't see how anybody, you're all exactly right. Like it's past the time. You need the IPs, you need the money, you need the connections. Maybe Steam, but Steam doesn't have any exclusives, but just access to Steam. But that's a fucking Steam box. We've been talking about that for a while, so I don't think that would really count.
Yeah, I guess. The whole thing. No, I was going to say, like, I'm glad you guys brought up the, the whole, like, you would need a lot of money in order to make it work, because I'm coming at it from, and I'm going to assume you guys are going to agree with my next point. I don't think a new startup company can do it. Like, I don't think so,
No.
Out of nowhere. But yeah, so it would need to be someone that's not only entrenched, but has a lot of fucking money, And the Tencent angle is very, very interesting, because they wouldn't need to be successful in America, They could just blow up in China. If you got 1% of those motherfuckers, you're good,
That is a huge market.
Yeah,
huge. The other thing I want to think about, though, is if Steam could do it, if they, I don't know why they don't just make a fucking Steam box, because that would technically be the only console to play Steam games.
Well, therefore, Xbox is about to do that, Brett. What do you think about that? Like, Xbox is reportedly going to do that next generation.
Honestly, a Fusion Xbox Steam box, I would be 100% into if I could, play my Steam library for my Xbox. I'd buy two. Like, shit, that right now is kind of my biggest problem. It's like, and I have these two platforms that I play on. You're talking about combining them so I can get all my Steam stuff. But there's a lot of stuff that's exclusive just to PC that you can't play on console, fucking period. Like, you want to play the Command & Conquer remaster on your Xbox? Well, tough shit. So it would be the Steam box has a built-in library of exclusives, kind of, I guess, is what I'm going with.
Yeah. Going back real quick to the Tencent point, one of the important things is, like Tony mentioned, they already have a lot of money. They have already a catalog. They're the third biggest publisher in the world. And also, like what was mentioned, China usually has, certain influence within these companies, so they can make it sort of like these games to be sort of mandatory and stuff like that to the populace. So I think that would be really viable in that market, and then they can just distribute it to the U.S. and other territories as well. So I feel like that's one way to that could happen.
Yeah. What about the rest of you guys, Rich, Brian? You have any thoughts on a possible new contender for the consoles? Guess not.
I did talk to Rich earlier. He did say that he wants someone to come up with a new console and call it the Concord, so you can see three different things called the Concord that failed.
Oh, man. Oh, by the way, Carlos, funny you mentioned that, because it has been exactly 1 year since Concord was released, and in 2 weeks, it'll be 1 year when the game was canceled.
No.
Oh, man. What a fucking flop, man. Oh, man.
Why?
Look at this shit, bro. Anyway, move on here. All right. Last two questions of the night, both from Eurocar, one of our favorite fans.
Loyal.
All right. First question here.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Although I think he might be a little full of himself right now. I read this first question. I'm like, bro, you're thinking a little highly of yourself, but I respect it. He goes, I am known for having a great memory, recalling memories from life's experiences and impressing friends with those events in precise detail. I'm telling you, sound a little, conceited there, but I respect the confidence. on the other hand, I have a hard time remembering things from older games that I've played, even from games that I would consider to be some of my favorites ever. For example, I've beat Mass Effect 2 multiple times, and it's permalocked my top 5 games I've ever played, but I feel like I can't recall as much from that game as I would have liked. Does anyone else have the same thing? Or, as Brett would say, am I the only one?
Yep. Bro, I can't remember what I had for breakfast half the days.
So you would agree with this, Brett? You don't remember the big moments from your favorite games?
I remember the big moments. I don't remember the moments that connect them.
Okay.
Sorry, there's a dog drinking in my background, and there's a girlfriend coughing in the other room. I have nowhere I can go without background noise.
Fair enough. I mean, I could take it because I got an answer. I am the opposite of this. I don't remember what the fuck I had for dinner last night, but I remember every single detail in fucking video games, man. Like, when I... Oh, whoo! Wait. wait, I can't talk about Metal Gear now, right? Like the embargo. I was like, wait, am I still under embargo? No, I'm not. When I played the game, remember, it's been 14 years since I played, because remember, I played the HD edition that came out in 2011. It's been 14 years. I remember every single fucking thing, man. Every single thing. Mm-hmm. Like the reason I beat it so fast is because I knew all the optimal paths and shit. So yeah, no, I have great recall for it comes to, especially games that are like my favorite. Mass Effect 2, Carlos, I could see the entire game running in my head right now, you know? But I have like horrible fucking, my short-term memory shit. Like, you asked me to remember a number, yeah. Like, yo, I better recite it to you within 5 minutes. So I'm going to forget that shit, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm the opposite of this. I have a bad memory when it comes to like general shit. But when it comes to video game stuff, this is why I'm able to recite video game dates like nothing. Like, I remember all that shit, but you know, but like other stuff, but it depends, right? It's like, you know, like, cause what am I doing for most of my life? I'm doing the same shit every single day. So I'm going to forget stuff, you know, but then I'll recall shit like, you know, the Franco-Prussian War or something. I could tell you details about that. So it all depends on what you're interested in, you know? But I have to question your car here. It's like, if you love this stuff, why are you forgetting it, bruh?
Well, I can relay the question to you. I'll speak for myself, ironically, a lot like Mr. Eurocar 9. Here's the thing. I don't know where all this stuff goes. Like, for example, let's talk about like something like Monster Hunter Worlds, right?
Yeah.
We played it a whole bunch, hundreds of hours. One of our favorite games of the last decade. I remember maybe three monster names. The only reason why I only remember those names is because we said them like, he's the Anginus.
He's the Anginus.
He's a Nergigante. Like, because of that. Other than those three, and Betelgeuse.
Yeah, Betelgeuse, you know, motherfucker.
Yeah, because it has a badass name. You know,
because he's annoying. That's why I remember him, fucking Bezel. Oh,
and he's annoying.
You know,
but other than that, I don't remember the rest of them. Like, if you tell me the name of another one, I'll be like, oh yeah, that one. But for some reason, when it comes to video game memory, it has an expiration date for me, and it sucks because I wish I had a better memory when it comes to games. Because you know, when we have discussions about older games, I would be able to better articulate. You know, my love for older games. Like, I remember we had a conversation not too long ago when we were asked favorite Kojima game.
Yeah.
And Metal Gear Solid 4 was my favorite game. I remember like three things about it.
Damn.
And I beat the game, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's weird. And it sucks. It's not intentional. I don't know if it's because I don't love video games as much as you guys do or something else, but it sucks. I wish it wasn't the case.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah, again, I don't have that problem. I like, if it was a game I played a lot and just left a mark on me, like, I remember everything. Obviously, you know, like 90% of the shit I say on here is off the top of my head, and most of it is pretty accurate. But then I think other things suffer, you know, like things that I probably should remember, like people's names and shit. I'm like, I don't fucking know. Like, yeah, like, you know how many times, bro? Like, actually, I'm even getting to a point where I'm forgetting faces, man. Like, you know, I'll go to like an event and shit. This is my line now when I go to an event, when I meet somebody. Hey, it's nice to see you, because there's a good chance I've met them. So if I say nice to meet you, they'll be like, wait, we met already. Cause I'm like, I don't fucking know if I met you or not, you know? Yeah. Or even worse, like sometimes people ask me, what is your, what is the one piece you've written that you're most proud of? I'm like, I don't fucking know. like it's in out one ear, out another. I remember the other day I wrote a preview for, Resident Evil 9, and I said this is not my favorite game, my most anticipated game of 2026. And then my boss was like, you sure about that? Isn't it GTA 6? I'm like, why would it be GTA 6? And I looked it up. I wrote that fucking article, GTA 6, my most anticipated game of completely forgot, you know, yet I still remembered in dumb shit. I could recall to you every single member of Black Sabbath, but I don't know what the fuck I had for dinner tonight. It's just weird how it works. But video game shit and metal stuff, fucking nerdy shit, I remember that instantly. I don't forget any of that. The stuff I forget is probably more practical things like, you know, what game do you review? I don't fucking know if I reviewed it. Oh, I guess I did. And then I read my review. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I did write that. That looks like my writing. It's so weird, you know? Yeah. So I think it's just the way your brain works. Because that feeling that you have when you're like, why don't I remember shit? I have it for my own writing. I'm like, I don't remember writing that shit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird. And, like, I don't know if you guys are the same with this, but, like, for me, every trip I've ever taken, I have it perfectly 3D mapped in my brain, like every single thing that I've done.
See, me, like that's another thing. I'm like, there's times where I'm like, yo, you've been here. I'm like, I don't remember fucking going there. Like trips are another thing that just leave my head, you know?
I recall.
What happened, Brett?
Do you ever, okay, so like since you remember like things that you watch, do you ever have the problem where you're like, you're telling somebody about a movie and they're like, yeah, I went to that movie and saw it with.
That's happened to me. Where it's like I forget who I went to the movies with. Yeah, that's happened.
Yeah, you forget the whole context around the movie. It's like, I remember I saw that movie.
Yes, yes. You're
like, but you don't remember anything else about it.
Yes. I'm not gonna say it happens often, but that's absolutely happened to me. You know, where it's like you think you put the events of one movie for another movie, like the context around it. Yes, I've had that happen to me for sure. But yeah, Carlos, again, since I take so many business trips, usually to the same places, like all my E3 trips are just all the fucking same, you know, it's all just meld together. And also got to remember when I go on trips, especially for you, it may not be the same. I'm fucking sleep deprived half the time, you know,
because
I'm working and shit. The thing I remember most from trips is being in the hotel writing. That's what I remember, you know, writing stories and shit. But I was to show you. But then again, at the same time, Carlos, the few times I've gone for fun, like New Orleans, I remember that shit, brother. I remember that shit very well. Or when I went to Vegas for Danny's wedding, I remember that shit well. Yet when I went to Vegas for CES, I'm like, Like, I don't fucking remember. Because I'm sleep deprived and I'm just thinking about work. Yeah. At Torrance, yeah, that was good times, man. By the way, a quick aside, but I could say this because, you know, running on time here. So Reggie asked me, you know, if I cried when I played Metal Gear, Delta. And I said, bro, I haven't cried since I was a teenager, bro. You got to chill with that. And I'm like, wait, that's not true. Because whenever I'm around Torrance, those tears are flowing, son. Torrance cracks me the fuck up. You know, like you want to get Tony crying, get him with Torrance, man. You're going to see them tears flowing, you know. Does anybody else have bad or good memory of gaming recall? I'm looking at you, Brian. You've been quiet. I want to hear what you have to say about this.
You makes a very good point. And I'm trying to think about it. And I think it's selective because there are plenty of games that I can like remember lots of story beats for, like beat for beat, and tell you like weird things about it. For example, Infamous 1, like my favorite mission was, I never remember her name, but the part where you have to save the girlfriend from one of the two towers and the twist that ensues from that. I remember that so well. Even remember the first mission where you need to go to the place, get the supplies, and then that's where you make your first moral choice. So that stuff I can remember really well. But then there's other games that I know I've played because I see that I have the Platinum Trophy, but I really don't remember anything about it. For example, Dark Void. Most people don't even know that what that game even is. It was a Capcom Uncharted game with
Nolan North.
Ironically. And UFOs. Again, got a Platinum in that, can't tell you what the story is, don't remember. So I think it's a selection thing based on how much you enjoyed the game, because that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It's interesting. Well, because I can recall, you know, memory moments of a lot of games, but I can't fill, you know, the in-betweens a lot. And mostly the in-betweens is most of the game. So yeah, I don't know where maybe Brian, you fall in between me and Tony, because Tony, it seems like he recalls everything.
Yeah, no, if it's a game I really like, but I'm thinking about Mass Effect, like most of the in-between moments, I remember all that shit where I'm just going around the ship, talking to people, you know, adjusting my weapons, you know, going on side missions. All this shit is just flooding back to me right now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, like for me, I like, for example, like I mentioned Mass Effect 2 or like Eurocar mentioned, and, you know, we agree, Mass Effect 2 is permalocked in our top five of all time.
Oh, yeah.
I played it multiple times. I can't remember what I did for the loyalty missions.
Oh, wow.
I know I did them. I know I did all of them. I know I saved everyone from the ship at the end. Well, not the first try. The second time I played it through, I saved everyone. But I don't remember what the loyalty missions were.
Let's see if I can just remember
Garrus's one.
Yeah.
The Garrus one, which I vaguely remember because it's probably one of the most memorable ones. But, and what's homegirl's name?
Jack?
The alien chick.
Well, there's, you know, Samara, right? The other Asari, you're talking about her.
The one with the helmet.
What's her face? Tali. There's a lot of characters in that game, yeah.
You see your picture at the end.
Yeah, that's right. I remember most of them. Actually, I probably do remember all of them, but for some reason, the one that sticks out to me the most is Jacob's loyalty mission. For two reasons. One, it's just really haunting what happens. Like you the mission is you go to, you know, find his crew, and like basically his old captain killed all the males and turned all the females into his harem, you know, because like they were just like, oh, we're stuck on this planet, that's what we had to do. But I just remember the name of the ship, the Hugo Gernsback, because Hugo Gernsback was like an editor of like sci-fi magazines, and that name always stuck to me, you know, like, oh yeah, the Hugo Gernsback, I remember that. Like I learned about Hugo Gernsback from that mission. I was like, what is the Hugo Gernsback? What the fuck is that? Turns out it's a guy, you know, that was an editor of science fiction pulp stories. But yeah, but the mission itself is dope. It's like, oh, yo, you did some crazy shit on this planet, bro. This is nuts.
And this type of stuff makes me want to replay the game again.
Yeah. But Carlos, here's the thing. You got to look at the silver lining because you don't remember it well. When you played, you'll be like, oh fuck, this is good.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. I know these things, these memories are in the recess of my brain.
Yeah.
So when it hits again and it clicks and triggers that memory, I'm like, oh, like it kind of feels like you're experiencing it for the first time, but not really, but kind of, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I remember when I was playing Metal Gear Delta, like I got to the part where like near, you know, kind of near the end, right before you face the boss. And I'm like, wait, because, you know, it's funny. It's like there may be times where I don't remember exactly why something happened, but the feeling is there, right? So I'm getting to this part. I'm like, why am I getting this feeling that I'm not going to like what's going to happen? And then because basically the mission right before the boss is you're escorting Eva through a forest while a bunch of dudes are chasing. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's why. It's a fucking escort mission. I hate this shit, you know? And I didn't have the patience because what you're really supposed to do is like kind of take Eva to like these like tree trunks and shit where you could kind of hide inside of them while the patrols go past you. That's what you're supposed to do. I didn't do that. So I didn't have patience for it. I just escorted her. And then as soon as a new patrol would come by, we just mow them all down. Like when you beat the game, you know how you get all your statistics. I killed 165 people. I went ham.
Damn.
But stuff like that, I'm like, wait, why am I getting this feeling that I'm not going to like what's about to happen? It's like, oh, that's why, you know? So even if my memory doesn't remember, the feeling will still be there, you know? Or it's like, oh wait, if it's something dope, I will remember what it is, you know? But sometimes like, wait, why don't I like this on the gameplay standpoint? Oh, that's why, you know? But yeah, good stuff there. And then the last question of the night, also from Eurocar, prediction time. What price will the PS6 and the next series Xbox, what will they be considering where we are now? Now, obviously, if you guys have heard the show, I've always said, you know, a console that costs more than $500 wouldn't sell. Then the PS5 came out, you know, and now we got the fucking PS5 Pro. That's $750. Now I'm like, I don't fucking know. I'm going to just throw this number out there. This is not even educated. I'm just throwing it out there. $899. I think we're getting there, people.
Wait, for one or for both?
Both.
In terms of Xbox and PlayStation.
Oh, yeah, because the Xbox is supposed to be more like a PC. I'm going to go $899 for the PlayStation and $1099 for the Xbox. Now, you might say to yourself, fuck, Xbox is expensive. That's a really cheap PC, you know?
We were having conversations earlier on the Discord and this week, for the most part, about how a mid-tier PC these days costs close to $2,000. I mean, the tax is $2,000.
Yes, absolutely, and
5 years ago, $2,000 would get you a low high-end PC, like a 3080 type PC build. The PS5 or the PS6, I agree with Tony. It's going to be around, you know, $799, $899, that price point. The Xbox is definitely going to be over $1,000 because what they're doing, they're going to do a PC. And, you know, we got the insight from AMD how they're making both the CPU and GPU for it. They didn't say it explicitly, but they said they're working with Radeon and they're working with, the Ryzen, like the CPU. So it's like
it's a combination of both. Because and again, forgive me, because I'm, you know, even though this is what I do for a living, when it comes to AMD, I always get their shit mixed up. Ryzen is the CPU and Radeon is the GPU.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, continue.
Yes. So that's sort of for me the dead giveaway of why, you know, you don't mention both of them if you're not separating both. Or because, you know, previously it was just a system on chip and they didn't, you know, both on the same thing. So I think that's what they're doing. And the whole thing, and obviously it's tied in back into the Xbox ROG Ally, where they're doing their own operating system with Windows, their special version of Windows, where, you know, they're getting rid of the fluff to make it viable. And you're going to have your Steam library, you're going to have Epic Launcher, Battle.net, and all that stuff. And I'm pretty sure, and I think I mentioned this in a previous show, this is what they're going to use for the new system. They want to do a PC where you can play your games and have a sort of a quasi-console type experience, but you can also use it as a regular Windows PC where you can stream games, where you can, I don't know, you know, video editing or do whatever you want to do your normal PC stuff for, all in one. And that's going to be their whole shtick. And that's how they kind of bow out of the console market, but kind of releasing a console. It's going to be interesting, but I feel like that's the way Microsoft is going to move forward. They don't want to compete in the console space directly with Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo, but they want to release something on their own, like a PC, and be like, this is the most, you know, efficient and cost-effective PC you can get in the market. If it's only like $10.99 or $11.99 or whatever that price would be at that time.
Yeah.
I feel like they're still going to try and stay under it there.
You think so? So $9.99?
I think they'll probably still come in with a couple SKUs, which I don't know how I feel about. But like, I feel like an $8.99 and a $9.99 or even a $7.99 and a $9.99 kind of thing. Just, you know, one will get you in the door, the other will get you high performance. Like, I have no problem with iterations, but like they can't have one that's holding things back. Like, they have to have a medium and a high, not a medium and a low. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You mean like the series consoles?
Yeah. But except for it's like a Series S, which is a low version, and the Series X, which is a regular version. It should be like the X and a Pro X.
Okay.
Should be like the kind of iteration, like the entry level should get you things that don't hold the entire fucking industry back.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right. So like you should get a competitive thing for the entry level price. And you know, so maybe it's just the entry level one will be under $1,000 and then whatever. But I think you know, just the sticker shock of like $500-$600 going up to $800, I think that's gonna be enough for a lot of people, and they're not going to want to shock people. So,
Mr. Murdoch,
yes, sir.
Can I rebut, or
you may
kind of rebut, but agree with your point in a way?
Oh yeah, I even more enthusiastically, yes.
Okay, the entry level system is already $899. That's the ROG Ally X, ROG Xbox Ally X.
That's not the remember, that's not official yet for ROG.
Well, I can. I confirmed this months ago.
Okay, yeah. Remember, entry level is $5.99. The high end is $8.99.
Oh, no. What I'm saying is, like, because Brett's talking about an entry level Xbox, right, in the next generation, that's going to be $8.99, more, you know, manageable price for the consumer, and then they'll do the more costlier SKUs. But what I'm saying is, when it comes time to release those consoles, the entry level is going to be the Xbox ROG Ally X.
Which okay, will be I got gotcha. I got gotcha. Yeah, what do you think about that, Brett?
I think memory brings up a good point. I'm trying to think of consoles in relation to their handheld counterparts and the price differentiation we've historically seen. Because I think
Do you think that's viable now? Because it's like these handhelds are basically mini PCs, you know.
If all was fair and just in the world, yes. We're getting into like very, very small custom chipsets. So I don't know. I feel like some of the prices of these handheld PCs are a little out of control for what you're getting. But that's you know, just me comparatively when you're like, because I'm going to compare them to a laptop, right? Like of equal specs. Mm-hmm. So I don't find their value that incredibly fantastic. I feel like no matter how you cut it, money is tight right now. Like people, like it's kind of the same reason, like I'd love to raise my tattoo prices, but like people they're having trouble right now. And I think that anybody able to read the market is going to realize that I don't think you can get away with the gigantic price tags. Because one of the reasons that the market for PCs is so artificially inflated is because you can do a lot of crypto mining on the backs of them. So unless they find a way to jailbreak and use these consoles for crypto mining, which would be a bad idea, then I don't think the price is going to get hyped up. I was very interested when I saw the difference between gaming PCs and gaming laptops. Because even when you part out a gaming PC, since they're starting to mine crypto with GPU instead of CPU, a lot of the gaming stuff is also crypto mining stuff. Until you get to laptops, where it's kind of a more dedicated built-in chipset. And then you're not having that risk. So like people can't hook up like 9 GPUs. They'd have to hook up 9 laptops. They don't want to do that. It's not worth the trouble. So you actually get more power at a lower price point for laptops right now as compared to traditional gaming PCs, which is a fucked up place to be. And it's only because a thing that literally generates money is built off the back of this. So of course people are willing to spend $2,000 to get the thing that mines crypto better. That's an investment. But to the gamer, like they're trying to use that same card to fucking game. And that's why everything is so ridiculously inflated. But I'm telling you, the differentiation, look it up yourself, the differentiation between what you get per dollar on a laptop versus like a desktop that you would build with a GPU, because most of that's going to be you, I'll be honest, and a workhorse power supply if you're going to be running a lot of stuff. But the laptop that I got, I could not get the same power. Like even though I had a 4070, even though I have a 4070, it's not like a desktop's 4070, right?
No.
It's closer to
they're all, yeah. I'm glad you bring that up because people think like, oh, it's the same. No, it's not. Laptop GPU is very different than a proper desktop CPU, GPU. So I'm glad
you bring that up.
The rule of thumb to go by is go down one model. So since I have a 4070 laptop, it's more like a 4060 desktop.
Yeah, but one thing I do want to make clear right now, handhelds are $8.99. So you think in 2 years they won't go up even more? I think they will.
Oh no, I think they will. But like,
and consoles will too.
Yeah, I think so too. But like, technology miniaturization is expensive, right? So like, it depends. Like, are you willing to have something that's the size of, you know, 2 bread boxes be your console? Because if so, it's going to be a lot easier to, you know, if it's the size of a PC, it'll be a lot cheaper to manage. A lot more off-the-shelf parts that you can use. So I'll be really interested to see. I mean, you know, the fucking PS5 is gigantic. It's the biggest goddamn console I've ever seen. So
yeah,
huge. I think a big cost of like a lot of the things like the ROG Ally is the kind of cost of miniaturization, trying to get that high-tech power into that tiny small frame, and you just get diminishing returns.
Yeah. If we've run out of the question, I got a question for Brett.
Well, you know, I want to hear Brian and Rich's thoughts on this one. Brian, what do you think about the console prices? What do you think they're going to be?
See, the thing is, I really want Tony to be wrong, but I so can't I. think of why you are wrong, which is frustrating. So I would really like them just to be plain and simple. Well, Jesus Christ, I'm actually saying this. Plain and simple and be $4.99. But I really don't think that's in the ballpark anymore. So I can easily see them being $6.99, maybe even $7.99 if they're pushing it.
I don't see the PS6 costing less than the PS5 Pro. That's the problem.
Yeah. It's going to be a very hard push if that is the case. So yeah, I think these consoles will easily go up to $700-$800, maybe even $900, and that's a sad state. Again, even if we look at the price of PC hardware, I'm just perplexed at how much that just costs these days. I mean, what, the 5090 is like $2,500?
Yeah.
What? You know? Like, I remember, like, I think it was when the 690, the 6090, the 690, way back when, that was like $600, and everyone was like, wow, that car's expensive. Now you'd be lucky to get anything decent for that price point. So I can see consoles also going down the same route. And it's depressing, because what makes it even worse is, again, as Tony's been saying, and I've been saying this for a bit longer, that these consoles are just getting worse and worse in terms of the games they have. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to justify $700 for what, PS5 remasters?
Mm-hmm. Fuck.
It's and then whatever Xbox is throwing out. Which again, I can't make a joke about that, because I honestly have no idea, since most of the stuff they throw out doesn't even come out. So what, Elder Scrolls 6 remaster? I don't know.
I don't think they're throwing out. I think they're throwing in. I think they're throwing in as the towel.
Throwing in the towel.
It's like, fuck it, we give up. We'll just be like a vessel for Steam. That's fine.
Damn, yeah, man.
Brian, I completely agree. And it, you know, I don't know who's been championing the, you know, games on consoles have been, you know, been withering more. But the PS6 is going to be the first generation where I'm going to be like, am I going to get it day one?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's crazy, man.
Honestly, what's weird is, like, if either console had Steam on it, I'd get it day one. Because at least I know it's got support. So, like, while I made it, like, and I don't mean this as, like, an Xbox fan, although, like, honestly, 100% transparency with you guys, y'all know I've been kind of converted over the last few years, right? Like, my primary has definitely become my Xbox. But, like, if they come out and they're like, yeah, Steam is going to be on this Xbox, so you get Game Pass and Steam, I'm like, cool, done. If, you know, if it's decent specs, if it runs, if it doesn't cost an arm and a leg, cool. That's all I need, because a lot of games not only have cross saves across platforms, but if it's got Steam on it, you can, I mean, pretty much anywhere I go, I've got Xbox on my PC and I've got PC on my Xbox. It's boom, done. Like, you don't even have to sell me on anything, just because I know I just need access to Steam, which seems to be the only place that isn't dying anymore. The one problem that you'd have with that, and actually, no, that might be solved, would be the problem with Steam games not being optimized on release, because they would probably be optimized for whatever console they're going to be on, the same way they are with Steam Deck. So I started to make a point and then instantly refuted myself. I'll see myself out.
By the way, I want to read what Barry Burns says. If I'm going to pay close to a grand for a next-gen console, it sure as hell better have a feature that keeps my food warm while I play it. # KFC console. There we go.
There you go.
Oh, man.
I don't know if you know this, but you could just put food behind or above the exhaust fan of your preferred console of choice, and it will keep your chicken warm.
Sounds like somebody's tried that.
No, I've just felt the back of the console, like the space behind the console after a gaming session. I'm like, holy fuck.
Yeah, that'll keep your food warm.
Yeah.
Rich, you have any thoughts on how much consoles are going to cost next gen?
Yeah, this was a rather interesting question by
What's this guy's name? Eurocar?
Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting.
Nine. You know, got to get that.
There one. It is.
Not eight or ten, nine, you know.
We got it. So, first and foremost, for Xbox, my thing is this. You guys are talking about the next Xbox console, which you also said is going to be a PC. I feel that Xbox is going to market this as a PC, saying you can do other stuff on this device. I expect Microsoft 365, them to talk about, yeah, you can play, use all these programs and stuff on the same system. And they may also mention about the fact that this can be mobile too, because it really depends on how the ROG Ally does. But in terms of the pricing, yeah, it could be $1,000. I think maybe around $800 or so, $850. Because, I mean, I kind of feel like if you're telling people $1,000, you have to offer a lot. Now, if they're offering top-of-the-line graphics, all this other stuff, then I guess it is justifiable. But I also want to mention, when they released the Xbox Series X, they also had an S version. So they have to have two versions, I would imagine, if they are going to do this. A lower tier, and then the high-end tier, such as, you know, stuff like what Apple does. So it could definitely be higher than $1,000, but if that Xbox is higher than $1,000, I'm expecting that to be the highest of the high. So we'll wait and see. As for PlayStation 6, I have a controversial opinion on this. I think Sony knows that obviously PlayStation is number one. They will be taking advantage of that as they will continue to. When the PlayStation 5 launched, it was $500. Okay. Obviously, yes, as Tony mentioned, the Pro drop, people were willing to spend all that money. I think when this other system drops, I personally think it has to be around $700 or $750, because you have to also factor into what game are they going to include in this. If the game is $70, unless they are going to increase the price of that, then yeah, it maybe can go up to $100. But I feel like they can't really go too high, because Even with the price hikes that have happened recently, it's a $50 price, you know, price increase. So I feel like, yeah, they, even though the Pro came out, they, and of course they will have a Pro version of PlayStation 6 if.
Yeah, they will.
But I feel like they have to keep it somewhat reasonable and not just go completely crazy, because it is obviously working for them. So I think $750, maybe $750. I personally, if I was Sony, because it sounds cool, even though it may be a dumb decision, get yourself a PlayStation 6 for $600. No way in hell they're going to do that, but that sounds pretty creative, I would say.
Yeah.
But no, definitely more than $600. I think $750. That's what my guess is.
Make it the PS6 for $600 on 6/6/26.
There you go, you know. Hopefully, parents groups won't think that's too satanic, you know. There you go. Yeah, 666. Oh, man. All right, Carlos, you said you had another question?
Yes, I have a question for Mr. Brad.
Actually, wait, excuse me. You have a question because you didn't ask any questions. It was Eurocar, different guy, you know.
Yes, we usually get confused with each other. Brett, do you – I know you weren't hot on the idea of the ROG Ally, Xbox Ally X, or whichever one to start with. How do you feel different now, especially considering, you know, like you mentioned that you like the idea of having both Xbox and Steam libraries and other type of launchers available? Have you changed your mind on that?
No, because it seems so prohibitively expensive for what you're getting. And I'm big on value point power, and so, like, I don't know, man, at that point, like, a laptop seems a better choice in a lot of scenarios. I like the idea. I love my Steam Deck. I think Steam Deck definitely hits the sweet spot. I feel like when Steam Deck 2 comes out, I'll probably be on board for that. But yeah, that's a lot of money to spend, and like, I do like it being officially like Steam connected and Steam licensed, just because I feel like it makes, like, Valve has a very good reputation to make sure their shit works, right? Like, their things are going to work on Proton if they say it's going to work. So You know, it just seems, you know, like a Steam streaming. I know Sunshine Moonshine is like supposedly a little bit better, but like Steam Link just works pretty well for most games. So I find confidence in Steam. I don't know that I find confidence in the ROG brand. Microsoft certainly doesn't bring that confidence. Their Steam would be the one bringing the confidence in the Microsoft Steam relationship. So yeah, I like the idea, but I'd like it better in a console. Especially if you could keep it around a similar price. Like I'd probably pay that much for a console.
Yeah.
Fair point.
By the way, I know the question was for Brett, but I want to answer.
Yes.
It's not allowed.
Yeah. Because remember, you know, obviously I was extremely skeptical about this thing when it was first announced. I'm like, okay, it's just an ROG ally with Xbox branding. Like, it's still fucking Windows. Like, who gives a shit? But now that we know that it's going to have a modified version of Windows that, you know, doesn't, you know, take up so much tasks in the background and all that, basically a lighter version of Windows. If that is the case, that actually does get me, like, I'm not going to say excited, but even though I wrote that as my headline for this thing, but, you know, it's like, oh, wait, hold on here.
Optimistic.
Yeah, basically, this is the headline for my article I went up over the weekend. I was skeptical about the ROG Xbox Ally, but this one feature has me excited. Yeah, it's that stripped down version of Windows, because the thing is, and you know me, I'm a Steam OS stan, love Steam OS. I think that is the magic OS for handhelds, right? But it is, you know, limited compared to Windows, right? But the thing is, obviously Windows, you have a lot more shit to deal with. But if you could have a stripped down version of it, you could basically have the, like, if you could have a UI that's as streamlined and user friendly as SteamOS, but with the customization of Windows, that's fucking huge, man, for handhelds. Again, I don't know if I'm going to be running out to buy day one, but I think that is a game changer, because it would be very hypocritical of me to have yelled about Windows 11 sucking for handhelds, and now we're getting a stripped down version, and I wouldn't be excited about that. I think that's cool. We'll have to see, obviously, because think about it. Like, I said this in my article too, we may still have to go through the whole, you know, you got to install Windows the regular way and, you know, have to decline free offers for Office 365 and shit like that. But if I never have to see the Windows desktop again after launch, I think that's good, you know. And obviously, you know, if the stripped down version, like, not only, like, you know, gives you better battery life, but better performance and shit, that'll be great, you know. And I've mentioned this before. My manager Jason, he actually removed Windows 11 from the ROG X, you know, ROG Ally X, installed Steam OS, and he saw performance and battery life go up by 25%. You know, it just proves that Windows 11 is a fucking problem. So if you have a lighter version of it, I think that's good. You know, I think we're heading in the right direction. But at the same time, you know, what Brett said about, you know, you getting more value from a laptop is absolutely true. So if you're yeah, buying systems that cost the same, like, the only thing this would have over a laptop, then again, I mean, laptops, you could take them out too. So, you know, yeah, I personally would pick up a laptop over a handheld, you know. But if you just want a pure handheld with no BS, this might be it, you know. But I really need to see that their version of Windows 11 for myself, you know.
They're both, I mean, the laptop and the handheld are both definitely viable for rooftop parties for sure. the whole thing, here's the thing with me, man. I'm like Tony. I was really torn, you know. The ROG Ally X has always been, you know, something that was enticing to me, except the Windows portion of it.
Yeah.
Now, they did two things with the Xbox Ally that I'm really, really enticed with. Number one, like Tony mentioned, is the stripped-down version of Windows, where games get to run natively,
mm-hmm,
and you don't have to mess with the fluff of Windows and all the headaches and the overhead that provides. And number two is the freaking controller. The controller, yeah, you know, the pad is a controller. That is a game changer for me. I have issues with, especially with the Switch. The Switch 2, even though it's improved, I still have some issues with the ergonomics of that controller. The Steam Deck, even though it's like 80% the way there to being great, I still have issues with the way that the joysticks are kind of aligned all the way to the top. which to me doesn't make sense. Either you make them like the DualShock or the DualSense,
yeah,
where they're both all the way down, or you do the change where one of the Xbox version where one is up and the other one's down, but you can't make them both all the way to the top of the system. So that's where, and like I mentioned in the previous episode, I got the PS Portal and it just felt right. Granted, it had mosquito bites as freaking thumbsticks, but other than that, it felt great. Like, it felt comfortable. It, you know, it's just something that I felt familiar with. And with the ROG Ally, the Xbox One, they're essentially doing that, you know? So I'm really torn, man, because I really want it, but it is expensive. $899. I know it's still not confirmed yet from Xbox or Asus.
I mean, that's the high-end one, but...
Yeah, that's my default.
There you go, man.
If it is anywhere within that ballpark, it's a tough pill to swallow. It is tough. That's a lot of money, man. A lot.
Yeah, but this is what the consoles are going to cost now, man. Get ready. Sucks, man. All right, we are done here. Good stuff. Let's plug some stuff. Rich, what do you got coming up on the Coalition this week?
Oh, yeah. So first and foremost, give a shout out to Mr. Gary A. Swaby, because he reviewed Metal Gear Solid Delta. Definitely check out that review.
Fantastic on the Coalition. Review.
Yes, I agree 100%. Check out the written review and check out the video review on the Coalition Gaming. A shout out to everybody that's checked out the video so far. I see it's doing pretty well. As for other stuff coming, yes, there are a couple of reviews that I'm working on that are going to be dropping this week. One of those reviews is Shinobi Art of Vengeance, so nice. Stay tuned for that. The other review is Gears of War Reloaded, so stay tuned for that. And as for the rest of the week, I'm actually going to PAX West on Thursday night, so I probably may not be on the show.
Yeah.
But believe me, I will have a lot to say when I get back, because I have a lot of things that I will be checking out. So I would highly encourage you all stay tuned to thecoalition.com as well as the Coalition Gaming, because there's a couple of things that will be coming on that platform. So, yes, looking forward to it.
Yeah, and so you're now able to say you've reviewed Shinobi?
Oh, yeah. I cannot say when the review is coming. I just say that it's coming this week.
Okay. So since you're able to say that, I can say I have also played the game, and you could hear my thoughts later this week. I'm not going to tell you what I thought right now, obviously, because under embargo, but I have played the game, and you'll hear my thoughts next week as well. What's the other thing I was going to say? Yeah, shout out to Gary, man. Awesome review there. I still got to check out the video review. But with Gary, it's like, for me, it's all about Gary's words, man. He's such a great writer, you know. Always enjoy Gary's stuff. And this is not exactly a plug, but I'm doing Riku a favor. If you're a fan of Riku Sun One, one of the founders of Throwdown, please do him a favor and go download the Trails in the Sky first chapter demo that's available on... I'm assuming all platforms that the game is available on. I'm playing it on PS5, but, you know, I'm assuming... Then again, Xbox guys aren't playing that shit. Download it on PS5. There you go. Let's just be real here with our audience, you know? Very interesting demo, I'll have to say that. So, yeah, do Riku a favor, man. He's been trying to get everybody into this franchise for years, and he believes this is it. This is it. This is the one. You know?
The one.
So, you know, do Riku that favor, man. All right, man. So we're out of here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. And check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
It's been real.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
Hello, people.
All right, guys. We'll be back on Thursday. Peace.
Deuces.